Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Tan Rabbanan. As we discussed in our previous shiur, the Gemara had discussed the significance of the 85 letters that if a Sefer Torah has left 85 letters, it still has in it Kedusha. And what was the significance of the 85 letters? So as we discussed, the parsha of Yehi ben Soya in the Torah has 85 letters. So says the Gemara Tanar Abaran. The pasuk says Yehi ben Soya Aram v'yom em Moshe. This parsha, Asla HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for it, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to write this parsha in the Torah told us to make simonis melmala umelmata, to make simonim. And the simon we know is the letter Nun that's put before and the end of this parasha in the Torah. The Mefarshim discuss how this simon is made. Everybody agrees that it's made with a Nun. The issue is, what is that with a reversed Nun? There are only a number of opinions how that is accomplished. There's one opinion that says that we know that the parasha of Yehi ben Soya, the Nun is the second letter of the word ben Soya, and that Nun is written backwards. Others explain, which is Al Minig, that before we have the parasha written in the Torah, there's a Nun that's written backwards before and after the parasha is written. And that's the way the Noida Behuda says is the halacha. There is a question, should that Nun, which is written before and after the parasha, be written as the Nun just backwards, or should not just be written backwards, it should also be written upside down. The other question, of course, is why specifically the letter Nun? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the Nun represents the Nas of Anishma, that we had said Nas of Anishma, and as we're going to learn in the Shia now, this Nun represents that Kaiso did something inappropriate. So we're saying, the Pasuk is, so to speak, saying to us, didn't you say Nas of Anishma? Another pshat that I saw, why did the Torah say, write, why is it the letter of Nun? We know that the Gemara teaches us in Masechta the Brachos that we're supposed to say the Perek of Asher Yoshev Esecha every day. And one of the reasons Asher Yoshev Esecha is so significant is because it has the entire Alabeis. But one letter of the Alabeis is missing from it, and that's the letter Nun. Because the letter Nun represents Nafla Psulas Yisrael, and has a very negative connotation. So we have an upside down Nun here to teach us that we should stay away from, we should not have any tzaris. Klal Yisrael should be upside down. Even if Klal Yisrael does Averis, we should not have any punishment. A third shot that I saw is that we know that the letter Nun represents the Nun Shari Bina. The Nun Shari Bina represent that Klal Yisrael, that we can't achieve the highest level of understanding of the Torah. And what the Nun over here represents, as we're going to learn in a moment, that this is considered a sefer for itself in the Torah. And the lesson here is that this is a sefer for itself, and just like this sefer, we just like the rest of the Torah, we can never come to the madrega of understanding all of the Torah, the Nun Shari Bina. Even in this sefer as well, we could only come to a certain degree of understanding it, but we can't understand all of it. Our understanding is limited. Says the Gemara. Why did the Torah also like Kadosh Baruch Hu seven monies mamala mamata? There's this Nun before and after this parasha in the Torah.
Leimer to teach us she'ein ze mekayma, that this is really not the place that it belongs. Rabbi Eimer, Leimer Hashem Huze, this is not the reason. Ella she'seifa choshehu b'fnei atzmai, as we just explained, the Hebrew Tzoy represents an independent sefer. Says the Gemara, Kamana Ozlo, Hada Amr of Shmuel Banachman, Amr of Yonason. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Chotzva Amudea Shiva, that the Torah is really made up of seven Svarim. Elu Sheva Sifrei Torah, there are seven Svarim in the Sefer Torah. Kaman, that follows the opinion of Rebbe, because Rebbe is teaching us that the Hebrew Tzoya is considered an independent parasha. So it turns out we have Bereish Shmois VaYikra. Then we have Bamidbar until the parasha of Ehibin Soya. Then we have the parasha of Ehibin Soya. Then we have the rest of Bamidbar till Dvarim. And then we have Dvarim. So for a total of seven parashas. That's according to the Mandom that says that Ehibin Soya is an independent parasha. Says the Gemara, Mantana, the Polygalei, the Rebbe, who disagrees with Rebbe, says the Gemara of Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya of Shimon Gamliel, Oimer, I see the parasha zu, Shtiokam and Mekoimai, it will be removed from where it currently is in the Sefer Torah, and it will be written in the proper place. So he says, so why was it originally written in the wrong place? Says the Gemara, to separate between the Peronius that's written before Parshas Vayihi Mitzraya, the Parashnia that's written afterwards. So, as the Mefarshim explained, we don't want that the Satan should be able to say, look at Klal Yisrael, they do so many Averis. And because that they did so many Averis, they did three Averis, if there wouldn't be a Hefsik. And we know the three Averis represent a Chazakah. So to be able to counteract that, the Torah separated it into two separate parashas. So what is the Peronius Rishayna? That the Avera is considered Peronius. Another pshat is that if they didn't have done Averis, they wouldn't have come to Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk wants to mention the Peronius, separate between the two Peronius, which the Gemara is going to identify in a moment. That's why I put the Hebin Tzoya in the middle. Peronius Shni Mahi. What is the second Peronius? The Pasuk says, V'hi Am Kimis Oinanim. Klal Yisrael were complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's hard for them to be in the Midbar. Pash Rishoyna, what is the Peronius Rishoyna? The Pasuk says, V'yissu Mehar Hashem, V'am Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Shesaru Me'achri Hashem. That we know that they started to complain that they were eating, that they only had mon to eat in the Midbar. They were complaining that they didn't have any meat, and in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point brought to them the slav. That's how Rashi explains. The Ramban and Tosfos disagree. They explain that what was the Peronius Rishoyna? That they ran away from Har Sinai, Ketinek HaBerech Mebeis HaSefer. That, well, like a child who runs away from being on school. They were concerned that if they're going to remain by Har Sinai, that they're going to be given more mitzvahs. And that's why they ran away before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyoch, will give them more mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara, Heichem Mekoymai, where is the proper place that the Parsha of Ehi Mitzoya really belongs? Says the Gemara, B'Degolim. At the beginning of Parsha, a Sefer Bamidbar, where the Torah speaks about the Degolim, the Torah speaks about the way Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. That's where, says the Gemara, the Hebrew Tzoya belongs, where there it also speaks about how the Aron traveled, or was supposed to travel, when it was in the Midbar. So I saw that the Sefer Chashavah L'Toiva explains what's the significance of the Parsha of the Hebrew Tzoya. The Parsha of Ehi Ben Tzoya is coming to teach us that even when a Jew is traveling, the Ehi Ben Tzoya Oren, even when we're traveling, we have to remember that there's no time that we should be disconnected from Hashem. And every time we're supposed to be connected to Hashem under all circumstances. So I saw a number of beautiful pshatim that speak about this subject. The Sefer Imre Shol says that the lesson of this parasha is the lesson of a half to la'aracha kamaicha. We know that Rabbi Kiva says, Amar Rabbi Kiva, v'haf to la'aracha kamaicha, zeh kla gadol b'toira. Zeh kla gadol b'toira, he explains, means that it's one of the foundations of all of our observance. And since it's our foundation of our observance, we have to focus on it. So he says, the pasuk says, in vehi ben soy aron, v'yenusa mesanecha mipanecha. And Rashi explains, mesanecha, elu soyne Yisrael, shekol asoynes Yisrael, whoever hates Klal Yisrael, soynes mishama ha'olam. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, whoever hates us, it's like hating Hashem. And whoever loves us, it's like loving Hashem. So this parsha that teaches us that our connection is supposed to be a connection to each other of love, and if we love each other, then Hashem loves us as well, that's a Zekla Godel B'Toyra, and it belongs as a separate parsha in the Sefer Torah, as Rebbe taught us. Another pshat that I saw from the Chassam Sofer, that we just quoted Tosfos in the Ramban, that Ketinik HaBerechma Beis HaSefer, they ran away from Har Sinai. He says, running away from Har Sinai, running away from the Torah, was the foundation for all the other Averis that happened to Klal Yisrael. And that's why he said, that's what the Pasuk is saying, Vehibin Tzoya Aron, all the Tzoras that happened to Klal Yisrael, that the Meraglim and the other Tzoras, all is because Ketinik HaBerechma Beis HaSefer. And there's a beautiful vart from the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid says that there are two reasons a person travels. One reason a person travels is because he wants to get away from where he is. Another reason a person travels is because he wants to get to his destination. So he says that was the Avera of the over here. Ketinik HaBerech Beis HaSefer. When a child runs away from yeshiva, it's not that he's necessarily interested in getting anywhere. His goal is to get away from the Beis HaSefer. His goal is to get away from yeshiva. And here too, he says, that's what the pasuk says, v'yissu mihar Hashem. It wasn't that they were so anxious to get anywhere. Their main goal was the Yisu Mehar Hashem, to get away from Hashem. As we explained earlier, they were concerned that they shouldn't be given any more, that if they would remain in Har Sinai, they would be given more mitzvahs. So, in our introductory shiur to this perek, we focused about the halacha, what type of svarim, Sefer Torah or others, may be saved in a situation of a fire. So the Gemara says that we could save the Torah, Nevi'im, whatever svarim we're going to discuss more in today's shiur. Ibailhu. So now the Gemara asks, how gilyonim, the empty parts of the parchment of the Sefer Torah, if there's a fire, do we attempt to save them or not? Tashma. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Sefer Torah Shabbala, we learned in our shiurim, if the Sefer Torah is worn out, if you could still collect 85 letters, Kegoin, Pasha V'Yehim Ben Tzoya Aron, the amount of letters that there are in the Pasha V'Yehim Ben Tzoya Aron, Matzilin, then that Sefer Torah should be saved. V'Mlav, E Matzilin. Otherwise, we don't save it. Ask the Gemara, but Amai, why should we not save it, even if it doesn't have 85 letters? Typically, shouldn't it be saved mishum gilyonim today? So we see that the empty margins are not significant enough that the Sefer Torah should be saved. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. Because there we're talking about Bola, where the Sefer Torah was worn out. So since the Sefer Torah was worn out, and therefore the Kedusha went down, it goes down from the empty margins as well. But under other circumstances, that would not necessarily be the case. Toshma, Another braisa. The braisa says, Sefer Torah shem nimchak, if the letters of the Sefer Torah got erased, im yesh be lalakit shemonim v'chamisha oisius, if you could put together 85 letters, ki goyim pashas v'ahim et soy matzilin, v'mlav, otherwise em matzilin. Says the Gemara, amai, the same question. Typically, v'shem gilyon d'day, we should save it for its margins. Says the Gemara, mokum aksav loikum aboyli. The place where there was letters and now got erased, there is no question. The Chikadosh, when it retained its original Kedusha, agav ksav hu the Kedush. It attained its Kedusha because of the ksav. Ozel ksav, and now if the writing is gone because it was erased, ozel kedusha say, the Kedusha is removed as well. Kikam aboyle, when is our question being posed? Shamal v'shamata, the area on top and bottom of the margins, or shemein parsha l'parsha, or shemein daf l'daf, between the parshas, between the different yurios, shebetchilas a sefer, at the beginning of the sefer, shebesoif a sefer, or at the end of the sefer. But ask the Gemara, typically m'shemahu. So even if you don't have the 85 letters left, you should still, if these margins have kedusha, we should save a sefer Torah, even if it doesn't have 85 letters, because of those margins. Answers the Gemara, we're speaking about the guys v'shadi, where they were cut out. The margins were cut out, so we're talking about a Sefer Torah that doesn't have margins. And even though the Rashba points out, but there isn't there empty space between the lines of the Sefer Torah? So the Rashba says that was never part of the Gemara's consideration. The Rashba says certainly the area that was between the lines of the Sefer Torah, those are considered part of the writing of the Sefer Torah. And if the writing of the Sefer Torah is erased and therefore loses that level of Kedusha, certainly that will apply to those lines. The discussion of our Gemara, says the Rashba, was on the margins around and around, and we don't have an answer. Toshma. So the Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Yodayim, Halgyoinim Shalmal of Shalmata, the margins on the top and the bottom of the pages of the Sefer Torah, Shebein Parsha LaParsha, Shebein Daf LaDaf, Shebetchilas HaSefer, Shebesoif HaSefer, Betamnes Yodayim. We learned the Gemara beginning of this Masechta, Daf Yud Gimel on the Beis, when we learned about the Yud Ches Dover, the place where the Beis Shammai were more than the Beis Hill, that one of the Yud Ches Dover is that Kisvei HaKodesh Metamim Es Yodayim. That if somebody holds on to a Sefer Torah without anything around his hand, and then he touches the Sefer Torah, the halacha is that his hands become tamei, and therefore if he touches truma afterwards, his hands, he will be metame the truma. As we learned, there were two reasons for that gzera. One reason for that gzera is that Chazal did not want us to touch a Sefer Torah just with our bare hands. So they knew if they're going to make a gzera, that if you touch the Sefer Torah, your hands become tamei, people will avoid touching the Sefer Torah with the bare hands. That's one explanation. The other reason we gave is that they were concerned that they would store the Truma next to the Sefer Torah, with the thinking, Zeh Kadosh, Vzeh Kadosh. Aren't they both holy? And the mice will come, be attracted by the food, and therefore they'll ruin the Sefer Torah. To prevent that from happening, they said that anybody who touches the Sefer Torah is tamei with his bare hands. So in discussing that gezeira, the Mishnah Masechta Yudayim teaches us, Halgiyonim, the empty places, Shamal v'shamata, Shebein Parsh l'Parsh, Shebein Daf l'Daf, Shebetchil sefer, Shebesoif sefer, Metamas Yudayim. So we see that the margins do have that level of Kedusha. It says the Gemara, that's not a compelling proof, because there the margins are part of a real Sefer Torah. So if the Sefer Torah has Kedusha, Agav Sefer Torah, Shani, the margins do as well. Our discussion is when we just have the margins and we don't have an answer. Toshma, so the Gemara brings another Raya. The Braisa says, Halgayonim, the margins and the Sifri Minim, Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim that were written by people who are Mishmadim, the converted to Avodah Zarah, We shouldn't save them if there's a fire. They should be burnt where they are. My love, what is the explanation when the Braisa said the word Halgulyonim? Legulyonim Sefer Torah. We're talking about the Gulyonim of a Sefer Torah, and the Braisa is saying that the Gulyonim of a Sefer Torah that were written of a good Sefer Torah, but since they're only the Gulyonim, they don't have that Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Loi, the Gulyonim that are being referred to in this Braisa are the Gulyonim of the Sifrei Minim. Those Gulyonim are not safe. Ask the Gemara, how could that be a raya? Hashta, if the Sifrei Minim Gufayu, if the Sifrei Minim themselves are left to be burnt, Eimat Silin, Gulyonim, so the empty spots, Meboye, is that a question? So how can we say that's talking about Gulyonim? Says the Gemara Hachikama, what the Braisa means to say is, the Sifrei Minim, perhaps this is what the Braisa means to say, that Sfarim that are written by the Minim are considered like Gulyonim. But we don't know that to be of a good Sefer Torah, but we're not quite sure how to understand this Braisa. And therefore this question of the Gemara is left without an answer. The Posh Pshat of Sifrei Minim, as we're going to begin discussing, so Rashi says, is the Svarim that were written by people who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Ritva says that they're the Svarim that were written by the Talmidim of Oysa Ish. Tosfos says that it doesn't even have to be that we know that they were written by those type of people. If we have Sifrei Torah that we find in the hands of the Minim, it's already considered the Svarim of Minim. Gufa, says the Gemara, HaGulyonim v'Sifrei Minim, Eimat Silan Yisoyim B'nei Leika. Rabbi Yisoymer, B'kol Koyder Eses Gor Shebehen, during the week we take out the Shem Hashem, the Goinzom, and we put them away because we can't be 100% sure. Maybe the Shem Hashem was written properly. And of course, we always have to treat the Shem Hashem with tremendous respect, v'shah sarfen. Amar Tafer, a kapeich espani. He used a very sharp wording. I'm ready to give up my son's life. Shem yovel yodei. If one of these svarim came to my hand, shnei esrayf oisam v'ases gor shebehem. I will burn them with the Shem Hashem written in them. And Shafilu, Odom Roid of Akhrov Lahargoy, if somebody's chasing you to be killed, V'nochesh Rotz Lakishoy, or a snake wants to bite you, Nichnas L'Beis Avodah Zarah, if you're running into the Beis Avodah Zarah, that in order to save yourself, the aloch is you may go there, V'ein Nichnasim L'Batem Shelu. Worse is to go to these people's homes. Shalalu Makirim V'Kaifrim, these people recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then they denied his existence. Falalu, people who never recognized who Hashem was, Eimakirim v'kaifrim. Valeim, regarding these people who left the Derech Hashem, Hakos of Oimer, the Pasuk says, Achri hadalos v'mezozu samtum zuchreinach. They threw Hashem away from their lives. From here, the Gros says, is the basis for Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody needs to run into a Beis Avodah Zarah, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei is Sim Kuf Nun Hei, Sif Beis, says if somebody has to run into Beis Avodah Zarah, it's a Beis and Sif Gimel, if somebody has to run into Beis Avodah Zarah to save himself from a situation of Sakana, says the Shulchan Aruch, one may do so. Of course, we have to know exactly the circumstances, but the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to go in there, and the Gra says the basis for that halacha is our Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel, Kav Chaymer, Umal Lasa Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishtai. We know that if a woman is accused of adultery, the Torah of Parshas Nosoi teaches us the Parsha of Soita, where a Parsha of the Torah is erased with the Shem Hashem. Amar Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, my name, which we have to treat with such incredible respect, says Hashem, Yimoch HaLamayim, should be erased. Halalu, Shematilim kin of Eva v'sakras ben Yisrael Levin shebishemayim, that they cause an enmity between us and Hashem, alachas v'kam v'kama, that we should burn their sforim. V'aleim, and regarding these people, Omer David, David HaMelech says, Haloi misanecha Hashem esna, uviskamemecha eskoitet. Tachlis sinas unesim, levim oivili. And as I saw, the Mashal explains, the Minim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu switched Klal Yisrael for a different Ummah because he hates them. And to that, Rav Shmuel says, Haloi Mesanecha, you say, you the Minim say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. But really the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, Uveskoy Memecha, the people who get up against Hashem, the people who deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are the people, Eskoytet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight with. Those are the people, Tachlas Sinim Soneisim Lo'ivam Hayali. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu always continues to love Klal Yisrael. Says the Braisa, Shem Shemetzina Yisrael Me'edlika, just like on a fire on Shabbos, we don't save these svarim. Kach Ematzilan Yisrael, during the week as well, we don't save them. Loimen HaMapoilis, if there's a building that fell, Loimen HaMayim from a flood, V'loi Dovah HaMavidim. Our Gemara taught us a very important concept. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to give up everything for Shalom Bayis. That's why when you have this couple with these issues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm ready to have my name erased. So this is the basis for a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, Or Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Aleph, where there was a place where there was a difficulty to build a mikvah, and they couldn't find anywhere to build a mikvah, only to take part of the shul, which of course were never allowed to sell a shul or degrade a shul, to use that part for a mikvah. And the question is, that was posed to Rav Moshe Zatzal, is that if there's no other place to build a mikvah, may you build a mikvah on that spot? And Rav Moshe's response was that you may. Rav Moshe said that our Gemara sees how tells us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so anxious in the Shalom Bayis of Klal Yisrael. He's anxious in the family life of Klal Yisrael. Barmine Yosef Bachanam and Ravua. Hani Sifri de Be'avidim. They used to debate. They used to conduct debates with Klal Yisrael. And that those debates were done at a place called Bay Avidom. That's where those debates took place. And they used to record those debates. And the question is, Hani Sifri de Bay Avidom, Matzilan Yisrael Me'edlika, or Matzilan? Can we save them on Shabbos or not? So says the Gemara, in V'lav Rafi B'yodai. He wasn't clear in being able to give an answer of yes or no. Says the Gemara, Rav Le'holach Le'Bay Avidom. Rav would never go to the Bay Avidom. For Koshke, and certainly he didn't go the Bay Nitzrafi. Bay Nitzrafi was a Bais Avodah Zara, and of course, a Jew is not supposed to enter a Bais Avodah Zara. Shmuel, the Bay Nitzrafi Loyazel. Shmuel, of course, said, I won't go to the Bay Nitzrafi. However, the Bay Avidin Ozel. Amalei, so the Minim asked Rava, my Tama Loyazel, the Bay Avidin, why don't you come to the Bay Avidin? Amalu, Dikla Planya Ikabarcha, there's a tree on the way, the kashli, and it's difficult for me to go over the tree. The tree has sprouted roots, and the earth, the ground, is hard to traverse. So they told him, Ne'ekri, we'll rip out the tree so that you should be able to get to Be'er Avidim. So it says, Dukta kashli. So if you'll rip it out, there'll be a hole and where the tree was. And it's also going to be difficult. He was trying to give an excuse why he didn't want to go there. Ma by Yosef Amma, Ano Minayu Ano. I know them. V'lo Mistafiyu Minayu. I'm not scared of them. Zim Nechada Ozel. So he wasn't worried about going there. And therefore he went. And Boy Laskune, he put himself into danger. The best is to stay away. Says the Gemara. Ema Shalom, the visa de Rebbe Lezer. Ema Shalom was the wife of Rebbe Lezer. Achsei de Rebbe Gamliel. And she was the sister of Rav Gamliel. Have a hoop philosopher Shivasai. So there was a min that lived in their neighborhood. They have a shoko shma, and he put out he tried to create around himself a reputation, the loy makabel shachta, that he never takes a bribe.
Barlachukbe. So Gamliel and his sister wanted to show that it's of course not true. Iyala Shagad Dahava. So she brought to him a gold menorah as a bribe. Vazal Kameh, and she and Rabbi Gamliel came to his home. Amrle, and she said to him, Bina Delifli Benichs de Banoshi, our father passed away, and we want to divide the inheritance. Amlo, Plagu, so divide it, she said to them. Amle, so Gamliel said to him, Ksivlon, doesn't the Torah say, B'mok and B'rah, Batalai Torah, that when there are sons, daughters don't get part of the inheritance? Amla, so he responded, Minyoyim de Galusim Aruchan, from when Klai Yisrael went into Golus, it's not my rice of the Moshe, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us has been taken away, the Siavis Sifra Achrita, and now you have a different Sefer, and in that Sefer it says, Bro Ubarta Kechadi Yarsin, sons and daughters both should inherit. Lamada, Lamachar, the next day, had Aile Ihu, Rabbi Gamliel brought to this philosopher Chamaluva, a chamar that came from Luv, which were the best types of donkeys, very good donkeys, very expensive. And again, he wants to, so to speak, open up the case. Amalai, so the philosopher then said to them, Shvilas L'Sefer the Sifra, but look at the end of that book that I have, the Kuspei, and it says, the Anola L'Mifchas Marais D'Rosh HaRusisi, I'm not here to detract, to remove from anything that says in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, V'loi L'Sufa Arais the Moshe Sisi, nor to add anything that it says in the Torah, the Ksibei, and the Torah said, B'mokim B'ra Batalai Tiris, that when they are sons, daughters don't get an inheritance. Armalai. So Ima Shalom said to the philosopher, Nahar Nahara Kishargach, your light was burning like a menorah. She was hinting to the menorah that she gave him for a bribe. Armalai Ragamliel. So no, she was complaining to him, I gave you a bribe to Paskin in my favor. So Ragamliel said, Asa Chamra, the donkey came, Abatish Lasharva. He knocked down the menorah. My bribe outdid your bribe. So the Ben Yoyada asked the question. Of course, the Gemara is trying to show us who this philosopher was, but there has to be a pshat that one day he says that daughters do get a Yerusha, and the next day he says daughters don't get a Yerusha. How does he explain himself? So Ben Yoyada said, what the philosopher meant to say was that on the first day he said, the first the Torah was the rule book for everybody in the world. And therefore, the Torah, but that was taken away. And what he was explaining himself was what I meant on the first day, that the rules of the Torah don't apply to the Umas Olam, but they do apply to Klai Yisrael. That's the way he was trying to work himself out of what he said on the first day. So we learned about Ksuvim, the Ma'ein Kairin. Why don't we read Ksuvim on Shabbos? Ne'bitl Beisem Medrash. So the Gemara brings two reasons, a number of approaches how to understand this halacha. Amar Rav Lo Shanu El Bezman Beisem Medrash. When the Rav is saying a drasha in Beisem Medrash, you're not supposed to read Ksuvim. You're supposed to attend the drasha. Avil Shloim Bezman Beisem Medrash. In the afternoon, when no drush is taking place, and the reason there was no drush said in the afternoon was because of shikris. They were concerned that people got intoxicated by the Shabbos meal. So then there's no drush, you can read Ksuvim. The Shmuel, Omar, Shmuel's opinion is, Afil Shlabiz Man, Basman Shayn Karim, we shouldn't learn Ksuvim any time during Shabbos. Any, ask the Gemara, is that true? The Nadar, Asri the Shmuel Hava, Nadar was the place where Shmuel was the Rav. Ube Nadar Pasuk Sidra B'Ksuvim Mincha Sada Shabsa. Every Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, they would say Haftarah from Ksuvim. So we see that obviously in that place, since it wasn't a time when the Rav was saying a drasha, you saw how to say Ksuvim. Elayitma Hachiyitma. This is the way to understand, says the Gemara, the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Omer Rav,
Loy shano el b'mokum beis hamedrash. Where makes suvim not be learned? In the beis hamedrash. Avish loy b'mokum beis hamedrash. Not in the beis hamedrash. There, you can learn kairim, you can learn suvim. It's not during the time, even if it's during the time when the Rav is saying the drasha, since you're not at the place where the drasha is being said, you can learn suvim at home. Shmuel Amar, Bein Bebelkim Beis HaMedrash, Bein Shlokim Beis HaMedrash, whether you're in the Beis HaMedrash, whether you're not in the Beis HaMedrash, Bezman Beis HaMedrash, in the time when the drasha is taking place, Ein Kairim, don't say Ksuvim, because that will prevent you. It's very interesting, and it's prevents you to go listen to the drasha, which is so critical. Shloi Bezman Beis HaMedrash, but after eating, when the drasha is not being said, Kairim, you could say Ksuvim everywhere. And now, says the Gemara, v'shmul omar, v'shmul atamei, v'az v'shmul atamei. And now Shmuel's opinion is very well understood. The menador paski sidra, the ksuvim, menachas of the shabsa. Mincha Shabbos, which as we said a moment ago, that's not a time when the Rav is saying a drasha. That's the time when ksuvim can be read because there's no drasha taking place at that time. However, says the Gemara, Rav Ashi omar lo'olam k'ramar mikara. We could go back to our original understanding. If our original understanding was that Shmuel says you can never say Ksuvim, so how in the Hador did they read from Ksuvim by Mincha? Says the Gemara Shmuel Krem Nechemya. Shmuel is going to follow the opinion of Nechemya. The Tanya, Afa Pish Amru Kisvei Kodesh En Karim Behem. We don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos. Ava Shoinim Behem. You can learn Drosha, V'darshim Behem, just to read them. They're very interesting, and we're afraid they're going to preoccupy you. But to say a drasha from them, you may. Nitzrach l'pasuk, and if you need to say a pasuk in ksuvim, maybe v'roi, but you could take out the sefer and look it up. Omram Nechemya, b'mnei ma'omru kisvei kodesh en karim behem. Why did they say that we don't learn ksuvim on Shabbos? K'dei she'omru b'kisvei kodesh and Kairim, it's for a whole different reason. Because the Chazal wanted that people should realize that if some parts of the Torah, Ksuvim, which are very much part of the Torah, we shouldn't read, Koshkein B'shtari Ajoitis. We don't want them to read different types of Cheshbonis, or different types of papers that we don't want you to read on Shabbos. So if the reason for not reading Ksuvim is because Shtari Ajoitis, the halacha is that at any time during the day, even when the Rav is not saying the drasha, you shouldn't read Ksuvim. And that is what Shmuel meant when he said, don't read Ksuvim any time. However, that was only according to the opinion of Rav Nechemya. But Shmuel himself agreed with the Chachamim. He held that the reason we don't read Ksuvim is because Bittul Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, if the reason is a Bittul Beis HaMedrash, you're allowed to read Ksuvim in a time when there is no drasha. So in other words, as Tosfos Devarim Maskil Shmuel explains, there is no machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. And Shmuel, the opinion that says that you can't say learn Ksuvim any time is only representing the opinion of Nechemya, but not Shmuel. And that's why in Hador, they read from Ksuvim by Haftaira. But here our Gemara says that a person is not supposed to read Shtori Hejoitus and Shabbos. Tosfos explains that Shtori Hejoitus is Shtori Chayvus. A person is not allowed to look at his financial documents. Rashi seems to have a broader definition of what Shtori Hejoitus are. So I saw that the Shalos HaTshuva Shvus Yaakov asked the question, what about reading a newspaper? Is that in the category of Shtori Hejoitus? Many Paiskim say that they are, but others say that if you're just reading it to know what's going on in the world, it's not your own personal business, it's permitted. And actually, it's probably a machlokes rishonim. The Re explains that the reason we're not allowed to read Shtori Hejoitus is mimtza cheftzecha. Cheftzecha asura cheftze shemayim mitarim. Shabbos is a day of cheftze shemayim. However, the Rambam says the reason you're not allowed to read Shtori Ajoitis, it shouldn't be like a weekday. So a weekday, you're busy with your business. But if this documents don't speak about your private business, it's mutter. And actually, there's another Machlokes Rishonim, which perhaps could also be connected to this Machlokes Rishonim. The question is, the Shtori Ajoitis that we're not allowed to read on Shabbos, do they become mukso? Rabbi Yonason says that they're mukso. Tosus seems to learn that they're not mukso. And again, perhaps the question is, to what degree do we have to stay away from them will determine should they be considered mukso or not. Says the Mishnah Matzilin, tika sefer ima sefer. When we spoke about saving the sefer Torah, we could save even the tika sefer, the case of the sefer with the sefer. The tika tefillin ima tefillin. V'apishyesh v'toich ha'mos. Even though that there's money in them. Ulahechem atzilin ha'son. Furthermore, to where we may take them. L'mavi she'enim mefolish. We can only take it to mavi that is not open. And B'Besei Raman, we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem, and the Gemara says that we could take it even to a mefolish. So our Gemara is teaching us that when we're allowed to save the Sefer Torah tefillin, we could say it even when there's money in them. And this goes back to a discussion that we've had previously. One of the Hilchos Muks that we said that is Bosos L'Davar Osur. But we learned that if something is a Bosos L'Davar Osur U'L'Davar HaMutur, then it's not considered Muksa. So Ramban discusses our Gemara. He says, why is there an issue if there's money in the case where you have the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos? Isn't that a Bosos L'Davar Osur HaMutur? So one teretz that the Ramban suggests is that the halacha is that Bosos L'Davar Osur L'Davar HaMutur is not considered mutter only if the davar mutter is more chashiv than the davar asur. So he says we're speaking in a case where the money is more significant than the davar asur. The Ramban says that Amish is speaking to teach us the chiddush that we're taking it to a chatzah that doesn't have an eruv. So how could you carry money to such a place? The chiddush is that if it's together with the sefer, when you're saving the sefer, the tefillin, you can even carry it there as well. Tosfos, however, Divrei HaMashkil, it says here that even though you're allowed to carry something that holds muksa and non-muksa, what you're obligated to do is shake out, if possible, the muksa item from the non-muksa item. But the Mishnah is teaching us that when you're saving the tefillin with the bag, you need not make that effort to take it out. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Abba Osin Shechalias B'Shabbos. If 14 days in Nisan falls on Shabbos, so the halacha is we're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. But of course, we should do it in a way that represents the minimum amount of Chil Shabbos. And therefore, says the Braisa, Mavshitin a Pesach Arechazo. You should only take the skin off up to the breast. Don't skin the animal more than you have to. Divrei Reb Shmuel ben Noach Reb Yochanan Breika. V'chamramim Mavshitin as Kuloi. If you're allowed to bring the animal, you're allowed to strip it all the way. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Reb Shmuel ben Noach Reb Yochanan. Thus, we understand his opinion that we could only strip it up to the breast. That's all that's needed to get out the Amorim, and we can't do any more Chil Shabbos than is absolutely necessary. El Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, that say that we could take it out entirely, my Tama, why are they being so lenient? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba B'Bachana, Amar B'Yachad Amakra, the Pasuk says, Kol Pal Hashem L'manayu. We should do everything for Kavod Hashem. Ask the Gemara, what is the Kavod Hashem involved in taking off the entire skin? Rav Yosef Omer, Shlo Yisriach. If you leave part of the skin on the animal will become decay and decompose and maybe give off a bad odor. Rav Omer, Shlo Yikotchen Shemayim Metalim B'Nevela. We don't want that an animal should be left half uncovered, half covered like a nevela. Says the Gemara, Mai B'Nayu. What's the nafkamina between these two explanations of the opinion of the Rabbanan? Ikvenaya, the manach apsur de dahava. If it's put on a gold table, if the concern is that it's being left the bezayin, it's on a gold table. There's no bezayin. If the concern is shlo yasriach, then that consideration still remains. Inami, another nafkamina, yoyim de istana, on a cool day. So if the concern is shlo yasriach, on a cool day, it's not going to decay. If the concern is shlo kachi shemayim metalim benevela, then you could do it even on a cool day. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, and as the Ritva explains, it's not really a very big question. Rather, the question is, because the Pasuk isn't specifically speaking about a Karban Pesach. Rather, the Gemara's question is, what does he learn? Why doesn't he learn from this Pasuk that you should be allowed to strip the entire animal, skin the entire animal? He says the Pasuk is coming to teach us, we shouldn't take out the Amorim without at least skinning the animal up to the breast. My Tama, why? Maybe we shouldn't do any skinning and get the Amorim out. If there's going to be some hair left in the area that we're taking out the Amorim, they're going to get caught in the hair. And if they're going to get caught in the hair, it's not going to be covered as Shemayim. So therefore, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that we should do at least minimal stripping for the covered Hashem.